Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
UK Tech Weekly Podcast.
What's new, pussycat? Whoa, 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 whoa. Welcome to the UK Tech Weekly Podcast, the UK's premier audio asterisk, spreading audio smiles every Friday. The UK Tech Weekly Podcast is an infotainment hug from the editors of PC Advisor, Techworld, Macworld UK and Computerworld UK. You can find us on Acast, on SoundCloud, on iTunes and more. Every Friday, we head to an audio shed, meticulously sorting through our audio screws and nails, piling up audio plant pots and stockpiling audio lawnmowers and leaf blowers in order to bring you no more than 40 minutes of informed tech chat on the hot tech topics of the past 7 days. Don't forget to subscribe, review and tell your friends. I'm Matt Egan, Editorial Director of IDG UK, and today I'm delighted to be joined in conversation by the leader of the groove with the voice that's silky smooth, Henry Burrell, staff writer of PC Advisor.
Smooth, good morning.
The strongest flower is the source of all our power, Charlotte G, editor of Techworld.
Good morning.
And the mangy fox with the fluorescent orange locks. David Price, the acting editor of Macworld UK.
That's lovely.
This week we are talking OnePlus, fake news and the removal of all privacy. I, for one, welcome all of the new overlords for whom I will soon be underlording. Snooper loopy nuts are we, we're all snooper loopy. Charlotte G. Big Brother and Big Sister are watching us all, legally. Why?
Okay, so basically the House of Lords passed the Investigatory Powers Bill this week. That is also known as the Snooper's Charter, although the government really doesn't like it when you say that. But anyway.
How are they going to find out?
Well, indeed. Yeah. They may be listening to us now. Who knows? That's going to be in force in a few weeks. Once the Queen has signed it, passing it from a bill into an act.
Well, that's quite good because the Queen is famous for her tech knowledge and scrutiny of laws that are passed.
Well, it's actually signed on, it's also signed on some kind of animal skin. I think it's vellum is what it's called.
Not mangy fox.
This is the not a mangy fox.
Can we leave that behind now?
But yeah, so basically this means that already your phone company is required to store records for the last 12 months, but now it also means that web companies, so your broadband provider basically, will have to store records of all the websites you visit for 12 months for access by police, security services or
David
other
suddenly went
bodies.
Really pale when you said that about
not
websites.
Really.
No, I didn't.
And this, so they store this information and yes. Give it to who?
Well, basically, whoever asked for it, that's not fair. The police or security services or other public bodies.
That does sound like whoever asked for it.
Yeah, pretty much. They have to get a warrant, which is approved.
By the Home Secretary?
Yes, by the Home Secretary. There's sort of various different levels of oversight. There are also for more, sort of for bulk data collection, you also can have a sort of, I think they're talking about an investigatory powers commissioner who's going to be created.
Wow.
That's going to also
investigatory
oversee.
Power ranger.
Power ranger, some might say. So, yes, I mean, they'll be able to acquire and analyse bulk data sets. So that could be like our NHS medical records, for example.
How long do you think it'll be before it gets hacked and spread across the internet?
That is an extremely pertinent question.
Well, yeah, because
that's a clever way of not answering it.
Yeah, well, I mean, it definitely will be. It will be hacked, yeah. Without a doubt.
Yeah, because TalkTalk kept everyone's stuff on it.
And they got hacked by a 17-year-old.
Yeah.
Who literally bought some off-the-shelf software and used it to hack them. So, yeah, that's how good the authorities.
What was the off-the-shelf software called? Was it called McHack?
McHack.
Easy hack. Don't know.
That's nothing. You should see what Donald Trump's 10-year-old son can do with his laptop.
Oh, God. Does he have a 10-year-old son?
I thought, wasn't he going to be a security...
He does. Security advisor. Expert. He probably is going to be after all the other people.
And he was like, talking about cyber, then he just said, oh, yeah, cyber's great these days. You should see what my 10-year-old son can do. And that was it.
That's So
was this Snoopers charter stroke...
Investigatory awesome, powers bill.
Awesome great thing the government's doing for all of us.
Yeah.
That was Matt. So practically, is it even possible? Are the other companies, I presume they have to do this, so they're just going to fall into line?
Yeah. I mean, they don't really have any choice. I mean, where it gets quite interesting is where you look at things like encryption.
Yeah.
Because the government said that companies need to help them get around encryption, which is a little bit weird. Although, of course, if that company is based in the US, then the government doesn't have any jurisdiction over them.
But also the encryption companies themselves, that's a whole other story.
They can't necessarily even help.
Well, no, but they, like all the encryption standards that were written in the 60s and onwards were deliberately written with flaws in them so that governments could get into them. Because a lot of it was funded by governments in the early days. So that's something to be aware of when you're encrypting your private documents.
Yes.
I, for one, have nothing to hide.
It's quite interesting. I mean, if anyone who cares about this, I mean, obviously...
Everybody should care about this.
I mean, everyone should care about it.
If they have something to hide.
The Conservatives, I mean, okay, this has gone through the House of Lords and, like, people don't really care about the House of Lords particularly. But in terms of the Commons, who supported it and who's against it, Labour either supported it or abstained. Right. I can't actually find a record of Jeremy Corbyn voting on it.
They're such a limp non-opposition, aren't they?
The Lib Dems opposed it. Nick Clegg voted against it.
Yeah, good old Lib Dems.
The Lib Dems did vote against it, but obviously it was 444 MPs to 69 against.
Yeah.
There
you go.
So, yeah.
So that's the thing that's happening. News. Is there anything... clearly you feel that this is something that should be opposed. Is there anything at this stage that can be done?
Not really.
What about in terms of practical applications? I mean, is there anywhere where you can prevent your data being accessed?
Obviously, if you... Unfortunately, it's really hard to talk about this without getting into the realms of sounding like you're a bit mad. But, I mean, if you want to...
Take that ship sail, Charlie.
Yeah. In my case, it went in a long time ago. You could use VPN or Tor. You could use encrypted messaging apps. Probably a lot of people won't. I mean, one interesting thing that did occur to me is that a lot of people kind of say, oh, well, as you've kind of joked about, but seriously do say, I've got nothing to hide.
I have nothing to hide.
But this data...
I know you want us to say it's not the point. But...
No, I know.
No,
but
it's clear, look. And also, it's a bit like, you know, none of us have anything to hide in, say, for instance, our work email, right? But if somebody wanted to fire you and they trawled through all of your work email, they could find something and use it to fire you.
Yeah.
Absolutely, they could. But it certainly used to be illegal to do that. Mm-hmm. With good reason, because, you know, the idea is not to create an environment or a state in which, you know, anything you do out of context can be taken and used against you.
And there's also no objective sort of right and wrong in this.
Yeah, completely.
We're all acting as if there's just these embarrassing things you might have done. Yeah. But what if the thing that you did was oppose Donald Trump, you know, 10 years down the line?
Yeah.
Welcome Donald.
That's extremely pertinent, actually, because GCHQ has an agreement with the NSA where they basically share all of their data. Yeah.
Well, we basically cough up our information to them.
Yeah, we do. We kind of do just... I was going to use a horrible analogy there. But yeah, we are certainly very... open to America, put it that way.
God, what was the analogy?
Much worse.
I was going to say something awful, but it's actually unsuitable.
You
for
could
podcasting.
Just say roll over.
Yes, we roll over for America, definitely in
very
that regard.
Pertinent, David.
But of course, I guess the point is that if anyone, a lot of people sort of say, oh, I sort of trust the government with these powers or whatever. But the question isn't so much do you trust the government, as do you trust every future government?
Every
that
possible
could
future government.
Possibly
well,
happen.
That's exactly the issue with Obama setting up that surveillance state in America, which he is now handing the keys of to Donald Trump.
So on that basis, oh dear. I mean, there's not much I can say to be that reassuring because it has now passed into law. It's just a shame that, it didn't get as much scrutiny as perhaps it should have done.
Well,
apart from
the
a few security nut people.
That people don't get it. Politicians don't really get it.
No, they don't.
It's also not been that widely reported in mainstream media.
Yeah, that's true.
It's nowhere near the BBC.
Yeah, it's an interesting one because actually there was a guy who's the independent reviewer of terrorism legislation who did a report on this called David Anderson, and he recommended lots and lots of changes. And the government seemed to have just kind of gone, not really done any of them. So it's interesting. I'll be interested to hear what he thinks. Anyway.
And introducing our special... No, he's not here.
Yeah. So yes, that's just a bit more bleak news for everyone. Happy Friday.
Great.
Does anybody know when the last time was that the monarch didn't sign a bill into law?
This monarch has never done that.
Is it going to be like Charles II or something?
It would cause a constitutional crisis.
She's probably going to lose a job if she does that.
She can't really.
She's knocking on a bit. She might as well do it now.
Do you know what? I think let's try and... That's our last hope. Let's try and directly appeal to her Madge.
Yeah.
Say to her, please don't sign it. You know, what's the worst that could happen?
Other than a constitutional crisis.
Well,
doesn't the government just have the power to say we're going to do it anyway?
Well,
it's more a figurehead thing.
Actually, we don't really know because if the Queen said no, then it wouldn't pass into law. So we don't really know. I mean, the government did talk about reforming the House of Lords.
They have a bill for overruling the House of Lords. But
they
I don't know if they have a bill for overruling the Queen because it's never been tested, has it?
Yeah. It's interesting. They've also abandoned any plans to... They were talking about kind of reforming the House of Lords after they stopped the child credit changes going through last year, but they seem to have gone, oh, well, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Well, they always do that, don't they?
Yeah.
Like Blair came in with a massive mandate and desire to reform the House of Lords, but fired all the hereditary peers and then...
Filled it with...
Got scared, and then they just crept up and up again with political appointees.
Yes.
Great. Okay, let's go around the room. Nothing to hide, nothing to fear. Or four legs bad, two legs good.
What?
Henry Burrell.
Four legs bad, two legs good.
What does that mean?
That's Animal Farm, isn't it?
No, that's the wrong way around.
What does it actually mean?
No, it's four legs good, two legs bad.
To start off with it is...
And then it changes when the pigs stand up.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that bit.
I think this shit through, you know.
Yeah, you do actually, don't you?
He swore. He did a swear.
David Price.
I think everything to hide, everything to fear.
That wasn't one of the options, but okay.
I didn't really understand the nature
classic,
of the other one.
Classic Mangy Fox. Charlotte G.
Four legs bad, two legs good.
Yeah. Excellent. We're going to get in there, but I think we have consensus around the table. We'll take a short break and we'll be back in a couple of seconds. I read the news today, oh boy. Donald Trump has been assassinated by Hillary Clinton's sex robots. David Price, what is reality anyway?
Well, all right, here's an interesting fact for you, quite a nicely timed fact. The you remember the word for the year last year? I think it was the Oxford Dictionaries.
When they add a word.
Well, it's not that they've added a word, but they picked their sort of most
Brexit this year, wouldn't it?
Timely.
No.
So last year it was the emoji crying with tears of joy, which is, you know, good in a way. This year it's post-truth.
Post-truth.
And that sort of sums up what I have to talk about today, because this week Facebook and Google have declared war on a slightly late, you might say, have declared war on fake news.
Oh.
Yeah.
I might just have to go check our sites.
On Monday, Google said that they're going to cut off everybody who peddles lies and fake news and sort of parody news that's not properly labelled.
The Daily Mail better be pretty worried right now.
I think there's quite a few people are going to be worried. They're going to be all going to be cut off from Google's ad network. And then a couple of hours later on the same day, good old Facebook did the same thing.
How is that going to happen, really?
Okay, so, well, we don't know the details. So this might just be, almost certainly is just reaction to the criticism that Facebook particularly got in the wake of the US elections. Mm. And some people actually think that the misinformation that's been, just riotous on Facebook over the last few months may have influenced the election.
Mm. Did you see there was a, sorry to interrupt, there's a guy who
please do.
Disseminates these stories, he writes them and makes loads of money from it.
Is Paul Horner?
No. Someone else. Can't remember his name. Not that man.
Yeah.
Was it
Barry Don?
Johnny. What did this man say?
He basically said that he did believe that the stories they'd written had quite an influence. I mean, he'd made a lot of money from this.
It definitely sounds like Paul Horner.
I mean,
are you sure it wasn't Paul Horner?
Did he say this in a real news,
I need to check
news
my
story?
In the Washington Post.
Oh, that's really
definitely Paul Horner.
Okay, Paul Horner in that case. I thought it was someone else. Okay,
yeah.
But anyway, it's sort of scary because most, apparently Facebook is now where most Americans get their news.
Well, the Pew Research did a survey on this, and they said that like 60% of people get some or all.
Yeah, so isn't it the most popular place from which people get some information?
Exactly. Yeah, not like they go there for news. It's where they see what they appropriate to be news.
But this is what the funny thing is that in a separate survey, like a third of people said they wanted to see less news on Facebook.
Yeah.
So people are going there and they're trying to look at, you know...
Oh, it's not sort of
Paul
news.
Horner's birthday drinks.
Exactly.
And they get, you know,
instead they get Hillary Clinton
somewhere.
Has murdered
somebody's
sex robot or whatever that story was. So we know we don't know how they're going to do it. But one of the things that came out after the election was that Zuckerberg said that 99% of what's on Facebook is true.
That's a ridiculous statement.
Which is sort of obviously wrong. And at the same time, kind of worrying. Because if they know about the 1% that isn't true... How is it still on there? Why is it taking this long?
It's a question of responsibility, isn't it? Because they would argue, I suspect, they're the medium rather than the content itself. Yeah. They're a platform. If you see what I mean.
That's getting a bit. Yeah. That's wearing a bit thin, though. I mean, they fired all of their human editors, and it does seem that after that happening, reasonably predictably, the quality dropped.
Well, it was a fascinating series of events because, you're right, they had a human curation team who would, emerged, were systematically pruning out right-wing conservative stories.
Right.
And when this came out, there was obviously a huge scandal because that, displays bias. And Zuckerberg himself has said a lot of anti-Trump things and does seem to be broadly left-wing. So then, in response to that, they got rid of them, replaced them with an algorithm. Then there was... a plan to change the algorithm to penalise fake news, and then they found that would unfairly penalise right-wing news because all the right-wing sites are much more liable to talk
spouting horse rubbish
than the left-wing sites. So then they couldn't do that either because again they were getting accused of bias of trying to be accurate.
Maybe just hire some people. Like they've got loads of money. Just
get some people that can fact check.
We'll just hire them back again.
Hire them again, but just tell them not to be biased.
Well, the problem was some of the accusations of bias have sort of been slightly unproven. It's been a grievance that right-wing sites have had, and they had a big meeting with people like Breitbart, known purveyors of quality editorial, and they kind of tried to appease them a bit. But in reality, maybe, as you say, maybe they were just more likely to be...
It might just be a question of funding, you know, because I see a lot of crap from Canary.
Yes, Canary also
which is left wing.
Yes, that's true.
But totally,
it's Norwich Football Club, isn't it?
It is indeed.
Yes.
I sort of look backward and forward on the broader point here because, like you know, I wouldn't. On the one hand, it sort of feels like yes, there must be influence. All this information must be influenced. But then there is the echo chamber effect, and media's always been a bit like that. You know, the country always gets the media it deserves. Mm. The reason why the Mail and the Express and the Telegraph actually are so horrible is because they're challenged and they're trying to flog newspapers or attract people into their sites. So it obviously has some sort of, you know, the reason why women's magazines body shame is because women buy those magazines, you know, and it becomes, but then at the same time, it's clearly a very unhealthy environment. So I'm never sure whether it is actually peddling influence or it's a reaction to attitudes that are out there.
There's two aspects to that. One is that Facebook is now in the invidious position of simultaneously claiming it didn't have anything to do with the election and trying to tell its advertisers that it's an influencer.
The problem is that I guess that people, the sort of echo chamber issue is that financially, that makes perfect sense for Facebook because they want, you know, the more you engage with it, the better it is, and you're more likely to engage and like something that you agree with or enjoy.
Yeah, I was going to ask, do we know if the algorithm that they now use does it amplify news that your friends on Facebook interact with?
Yeah, it's engagement. Engagement.
Yeah.
So the more outrageous a story is, the more, of course, more people engage with it. And
so you're kind of radicalising an already perhaps slightly misled.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it clearly has an influence. Yeah. And the engagement, you know, it's this idea that by getting rid of the humans, that gets rid of the bias is absurd, because every algorithm has a bias.
Yes, it does.
And in this case, it is eminently gameable, which means that whichever side of the debate is more willing and more competent at creating snackable bullshit will win the argument.
It's just a more efficient, faster version of what's happened forever.
But it's
newspapers, have always been patronised by wealthy, almost always men, who have a particular point of view that they want to peddle.
Although the problem is that I see what you mean, but then the problem with this is that some of these stories are, I mean, they were kind of spinning someone's take on it, whereas a lot of these stories are just completely fabricated.
That's what's new.
Like
Nick Davis in Flat Earth News describes the way that the way that the news media has been essentially dismantled since the rise of the internet, and before that, Rupert Murdoch smashing the print unions. So these days, none of the papers have the resources to fact check, and they, you know, as a matter of economic reality, they just churn stuff out, and they are therefore.
I would say I totally take that point, but I would say that a little bit like, you know, the norm in the recording industry to make loads of money from selling records really only existed in the late 60s through the 70s and the 80s. And that All the President's Men media that we remember so fondly, at most 40 years in history.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
You know, if you read about when Jack the Ripper was on the loose and stuff like that, newspapers were just writing the most scurrilous things. You know, it's a 20th century phenomenon.
Really. Yeah.
And I mourn the passing of it, but it's not, you know, it's not entirely new that people fabricate stuff and print it.
What maybe is new is that you have simultaneously the lack of fact checking, that was commonplace pre, what are we going to say, 1950s, but we also have the amplification of modern technology.
Yeah, completely.
So it's
quicker,
it's audacious, and it's efficient, which is a combination I don't think we've seen before in history. And I'm not sure that those scurrilous, I mean, actually, you know more about history than me. could those scurrilous, you know, 1920s broadsheets have changed the outcome of a political election?
I don't know if it has happened this time. That's what I would say. I think, I mean, like, for instance, take the Brexit vote,
which was clearly influenced by lies. Because you ask many people that voted for Leave, they now wish they changed their mind because they've discovered that the things they were told were wrong.
Well, I'm not sure you've got data to back that up.
But at my fingertips, possibly not.
They were lied to. But I still think it's slightly different. It's probably slightly different to the Trump phenomenon. I think it's probably a little bit of a stretch to.
The point I was going to make was that, like, on a pure maths basis, in terms of just specifically newspapers. So actually, it's not the right point because we're talking about social media here. But prior to the Brexit vote, a bit like Trump saying he wouldn't accept the result if he lost, a lot of the word coming out of the lead camp was, well, we lost because the newspapers were all against us, because only the Express all the way through was for leaving.
Yes.
But I've just realised we are talking about social media, which is a completely different...
The thing that's weird, though, is that they're very... A lot of these people kind of think... you know, the elite is lying to us and don't believe the mainstream media and so on. But then they're so willing to believe
a lot of the things
that they read, which I just don't understand. So it's kind of like, but Hillary murdered
someone.
But
it's anything, anything you read that you disagree with
must be wrong.
Lie, and anything you agree with must be right. And what's actually changed is that there's no intervening point of, is that right? There's no fact check, there's no sort of mental fact checking.
Do you think
the fact that we can always look back on everything that's been written online as well kind of means it just extends the narrative? Because before, you'll go out and buy a newspaper and you read something and you might believe it without really thinking about it, but then it's gone the next day and you can't go and check it. Whereas now you search for something and you can see an article that was written 2 months ago, or an article that has today's date on it but was written 4 months ago.
But you don't know. You also don't know when it was changed.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
Mm. I mean, you can use stuff like the Wayback Machine to discover when things have been changed. But the point is that people don't care because it gets deluged by the next load of information. We have too much information.
Yeah, that always happened with print, but people were less aware of it.
With print, I think the stuff that people... Like, you remember that one about... who was it? The wrong election result. Dewey beats... Truman, was it? And that was on the front page of the newspaper and they got it wrong. And people show that today and people have copies of that today.
Like that video where they crowned Miss Universe and they got it wrong.
Well, I suppose like that.
All the most significant elections.
But the stuff that's written now is forgotten the next day or changed.
The wrong Miss Universe? Sorry, I'm not going to ask.
It's a funny video, you should check it out.
But how can you be on the wrong internet. Miss Universe?
No, she wasn't.
They were standing there and she was like, it's blah, 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 Miss whatever. Yeah. And they were like, and she's like, oh my God. And then they were like, oh, actually, wait, no, it was the other one.
If that happened in Britain, they would have just gone with it probably. Like, oh yeah, no, it's fine. Like, it's
to be honest, they could have got away with it anyway.
I think every woman is Miss Universe.
That was Matt.
Oh, I'm not going to respond to that.
Anyway...
What are we going to do then? Well, about Miss Universe or about the fake news?
I really think it changed the outcome of both the Brexit vote and the election.
That's because you read it online.
Do we think that because
we were all convinced, potentially, to an extent by social media as well, that it was going to go the other way?
Well, I'll tell you what is interesting is that traditional media, in both cases, got it absolutely wrong.
Yeah, they did.
Yeah. But that's because the polling industry...
Game over.
Yeah,
that business is finished.
But it doesn't work in specific situations. It doesn't work if one side is stigmatised and the other isn't. Because then everybody that was going to vote for the stigmatised side won't admit it.
You get the shy Tory.
Yeah, effect. Well, in this case, both sides were one side that was perceived to be racist. And nobody's going to say, yes, I'm going to vote for the groping, misogynist.
That's the most recent three major elections of which we're all aware in the English speaking world.
Yeah, no one knows.
Completely
going to be faith
wrong
in polling.
By the polling.
Having worked previously for a couple of different pollsters, it's been an interesting thing to observe. There's been a lot of soul searching going on right now, as you can imagine, in the polling industry.
Yeah.
But I think people keep on trying to find reasons, like Labour voters are more likely to respond to polls in the first place for various different reasons. Some of which
of course they are.
I'm not sure are true or not.
They're not telling everybody what they think, don't they?
I think there might be a shy... I think there might be also a kind of Trump... People don't want to admit that they're voting for him as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, I agree. I think that, it's now really hard to take any of it.
It might be one of those things that we'll have to view from a historical perspective, presuming there is a future, which is that, we're seeing this as an end point, but it's probably part of a fairly major transition in the way that people create and consume information.
Yeah.
And maybe, a few years down the line. I mean, it is an industrial revolution. It's an industrial revolution for the information industry. Some kind of... People do value facts in their information. Or we think they do. Traditionally,
do
they?
That's the thing.
Well, that's... Yeah,
some of them are idiots.
I don't know.
We'll see.
Yeah.
Yeah. We fact-check everything we do. I just want to make that clear.
We absolutely do.
Yeah.
I fact check everything I read as well. I fact check everything that you people say to me as well. I'm
going
to go back to my desk now.
How do you fact check a news story?
I just think, is it true?
David's
Which I tell you, it's more than a lot of people do on Facebook.
I take it on the level of vehemence with which my friend insists that, yes, that definitely was what happened.
I think it's like the inverse correlation of okay. that. The more they protest.
Yeah.
Interesting. Good. Okay, well, let's go around the room then. Post-fact world, or we don't need experts. I can't remember which is a good one or the bad one. Let's say post-fact world is a good one. We don't need experts is a bad one. Henry?
We don't need experts.
David Price?
Are you saying we don't need experts?
Well, no, look, I've got it.
He said that was the bad one. I'm agreeing that this is bad.
Oh, so you're saying that this is... yes, these things are bad.
Yes. Charlotte?
Yes. I think the exact quote is, we're sick of hearing from experts.
We're sick of hearing from experts.
He said it again recently. Gove was on the radio. He said it again.
He should subscribe to this podcast.
He should.
I don't think I could hate him any more than I currently do. But
no,
now
well.
I do.
Yeah. I think I might have seen him in a pub near my house. He is an MP near my house. In the weekend when he was unsuccessfully trying to become the Prime Minister. Yeah. And if it was him, he was sitting on his own drinking a pint in a sad way wearing a cardigan. So it can't have been him because he would have been out campaigning somewhere.
No, a lot of people see him around. Dan saw him in Soho recently buying a salad box.
This is just turning into anecdotes.
of Michael Dan.
Fact check that. Yeah. Right, let's take a short break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about a phone. OnePlus Tanamera. OnePlus Tanamera. Why hero OnePlus Tanamera. Henry Burrell. Why does 1 + 1 + 3t equal awesome?
I was never very good at maths. But after the last two sections, this is a slightly fluffier segment for the listener.
Let's hear about your phone.
There's a new phone.
Yay!
Isn't that fun?
Consumerism is bad.
Yeah. No. And it's where you store all your websites and look at all your fake news.
Handy.
Anyway, the company who won't like me referring to them as a plucky upstart, OnePlus, Chinese company, been making phones for a few years now.
Haven't they got a Chinese name like Huawei and the other ones?
Don't know, so people can say it.
Brilliant.
I respect and admire every decision made by our Chinese.
So Charlotte has a OnePlus 2.
Yep.
There was a OnePlus 3. And then, this week we went to the launch of the OnePlus 3T.
What?
Which is a upgrade on the OnePlus 3 5 months after it launched. So it's kind of repeating the pattern that we've seen with companies like Sony, who've been doing it for a while. Rumours are HTC will be doing it soon as well, yet to be confirmed.
Can everyone just stop releasing new versions of the phone I've got?
New fun thing.
It doesn't actually make your phone any worse. Yeah.
Your phone's still fine.
Don't worry about it.
And the thing that's got some people annoyed, so OnePlus are generally perceived as being good value for money. And I went to this event where the co-founder was the other day, and I walked into the room, and he just immediately shook my hand. I was like, all right, how's it going? And he was like, hi, I'm fine. We don't like being called like value for money. It was like the first thing he said to me after hello, which fair play.
But is that in response to
something you'd written?
No. He was like, I was just talking to this other journalist. And then he was like, we don't like to be perceived as good value for money.
What? We want to be perceived as bad value for money.
As good value for money, sorry. We want to be perceived by the brand and everything. So it was immediately a very focused guy who's releasing this phone, and he's on the defensive a little bit. Because
his eye twitching as he said this.
This phone might annoy people if they're listening, if they have a OnePlus 3, because it's an upgrade to that phone, which is more expensive and is only 5 months after it came out. So I think we've talked about on this pod before, when the OnePlus 3 came out, it was £309. Then of that pesky Brexit went up to £329. And then 5 months later, this phone...
It is good value for money, isn't it?
It is good value for money.
Really good. There's one thing I say about OnePlus.
It's good value for money.
Well, it's true. But I mean,
Carl.
They've kind of built a brand, which is pretty sort of cool within tech circles, but on the basis of making really good phones, but they are good value for money. I mean,
And it's strange that he was so adamant. The first thing he said to me was that. So this new phone is OnePlus 3T. It will be £399. Turns the page, £399, Mr. Egan, which is, maths fans will appreciate, £90 more than the OnePlus 3 was 5 months ago. Mm. And then they're also doing a 64GB, 128GB version is £439. Mm. So maybe... they've just done that so that we can't say it's good value for money. But
still
it
sounds pretty good.
It's still quite cheap.
Yeah, when you compare it to a Samsung or an iPhone, which is a fair comparison because it's high quality kit.
But where before you could kind of look at it and say £300 for a OnePlus, £600 for an iPhone. Yeah. Now you're looking at it and thinking, well, it's only £160 more for an iPhone.
Mm. Why don't they just make it £1,000?
If they're so bothered,
then it really won't be good value for money.
And then if anybody buys it, they'll make more money. Brilliant.
Yeah. So the only difference is between it and the last one. There's a slightly darker colour of it.
Brilliant.
It has a faster processor, does have a bigger battery, and the front-facing camera is 16 megapixels, which is the same as the back one. So
that's really
for
high.
All you selfie fans out there.
Yeah, the camera's good. The camera's really good on OnePlus. Mm.
And interestingly, at the event, I don't know why I noticed this, but he didn't call it a selfie camera. He said for all of you guys using Snapchat and Facebook Live.
Mm.
So no one uses Facebook Live, do they? Of their face.
What is this Snapchat of which you speak? Which incidentally is IPO'd next week. But anyway.
Yeah. But yeah, no, just it's interesting to see another company who were sort of, originally they had invite systems for their phones. You had to apply to get invited into their special circle.
Which worked
circle.
Brilliantly because it really throttled supply and
demand was
huge.
Really high. But now you can get the OnePlus 3 on O2. And this will be available on O2 as well from the 22nd of November. You can buy it SIM-free in the US, 28th of November for the UK. And if you were after a OnePlus 3 and want to save a bit of money, they've stopped making them now. So buy one right now. Because when they're gone, they're gone.
Okay. You're looking at me now.
Sorry, I was just... This is the first thing I saw.
I will.
Don't buy another phone, Charlotte.
I really like mine. It's brilliant. But the battery life has gone to pot. So I might buy a new battery.
That's how they get it.
Although that feels
a
bit...
You can buy an upgradable battery. That's amazing.
You can actually take the back of your phone off and unscrew it. I know. But so...
How do you get past the proprietary screw system?
With a screwdriver.
You're a proprietary screw system.
I don't know. Is that... What are your views on that more knowledgeable consumer
terms? Lithium-ion batteries will degrade over time anyway.
So,
particularly if you leave them charged in overnight. I would just get a new phone, but that's...
Okay. I'll just spend £300 instead.
I mean, I mean, Henry's right. It is a technical limitation. It also suits phone manufacturers that the batteries get worse as they...
Certainly does.
But, and also they price them so that, you could spend £300. I mean, I don't know how much a lithium-ion battery would be.
It's about $8 I found one for.
Oh, sod it, then why wouldn't
you? Yeah, I know. So I was thinking, just get a new battery.
What if it explodes in your pocket?
Well, then I'll sort of just have some minor burns, probably.
Spend all that money you saved in the hospital.
Yeah. Well, no, but we still have we still do have the National Health Service in place. So.
Oh, that we've still got a few.
Yeah,
more
no, we've still
that.
Got that. Yeah. I've checked.
Spend a little bit of the additional money on a flame retardant suit.
Yep.
Problem solved.
I'll buy them both at the same time.
You'd have to wear the flame retardant suit underneath your other clothes though, if it's going to be in your pocket.
Yeah.
And that's going to be bulky and impractical.
Well, it's winter. So, it's fine. Oh yeah, I can get away with it. Yeah.
But anyway, I thought it was interesting.
Yes.
Given that the brand, their motto is never settle, so it's kind of in keeping with that because
never
they
settle. But it's a terrible motto. Yeah.
Well, it was more in his laser focus.
I wasn't thinking that they were settling, but now they've put it in my mind. I'm thinking that it's the second best option. Why? Yeah. That's like saying
no. They mean in terms
not actually
of
mediocre.
No, they mean as in terms of they will progress
the
and
always
striving for the best.
Yeah.
Nil satis nihil optimum.
Not as in like don't get married.
Is that Everson?
It is. Or as my friend used to say, nil satis nihil mid table obscurity. That was a football joke.
Yeah. What concerns me about the never settle motto is if my wife ever gets wind of that, there could be major changes in the Egan household.
Aww. Don't put yourself down. No. She can do better.
Who would this phone be targeted against, Henry, in that price range?
£400. It's lower price than most of the other flagship phones on the market.
But it's flagship spec, right?
Yes. It has 6 GB of RAM, which means it's snappy as...
that is ridiculous. That is like
it's
that's
a lot.
Like, that's
I'm glad you said
that
because I wouldn't understand what that meant otherwise.
It just means it can do lots quite fast. Yeah. And then
for the B2B journalists,
which
I
is
know
good.
What
but
RAM means on the plus side. Anyway, sorry.
And also, it does have a cool feature. To get nerdy for a minute, you can charge an entire day's worth of power on it in half an hour with included charger, which is pretty
that's
good.
That's handy.
And what that means is you don't have to leave it plugged in overnight.
Yeah.
So you can just kind of top it up.
Which should. should make the battery should, last
it
longer.
Is it bad for you leaving things plugged in for too long?
That's a slightly controversial
bad
point.
For you? Sorry, I mean bad for your device.
Like, a good manufacturer should mean that it stops charging when it's charged.
Right.
If you put an $8 battery in your phone, you probably wouldn't be under warranty for what they promised.
Why do you want me to spend so much money in?
I don't want you to.
It's good for the company. I mean, good for the country, not the company.
Country?
Good for the country if people spend money. Consumerism is good.
Okay, yeah. Okay.
I welcome our corporate overheads.
I for one. Well, yeah, okay.
My Samsung has got the fast charger. It does make... It's quite a significant... Masses more battery life would be great, but fast charging does make a big difference.
It's good. Yeah, it changes your habits.
Yeah. That sounds good. I like the sound of that.
Yeah.
I'm sold.
That was easy.
It does sound really good. What's the drawbacks? What's the catch?
Oh, it runs Android.
It does run Android. Yeah. iPhones are notoriously now one of the last phones to not have fast charging.
Yeah.
Right. They do charge very slowly.
But Android is, you know, if you're used to using an iPhone, you might not be able to manage Android.
Yeah.
My little all that choice wouldn't be able to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it'd be like coming to a roundabout and having several options.
Oh, yeah, having the option of all those different bugs and malware and viruses.
Ooh.
Oh, which one shall I have?
David's getting sarky.
Who do I want to empty my bank account?
Post-fact world, David is regurgitating Apple propaganda.
By the time you debunk it, I'll have moved on to the next lie.
Truth.
But the thing that I thought after this event was, for a company that also says they always listen to their fans, they take into account everything, the feedback that they have on their phones, the answer to that this time, with minimal criticism for their last phone, was to immediately upgrade it to a phone those fans probably don't want to buy straight away. Which I thought was a little bit odd. In a way, they're improving it, and they were like, we always want to keep innovating and keep...
Almost as though that whole fan rhetoric is just marketing.
Just a little rubbish.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, I think they had us with the OnePlus One and the OnePlus Two. But they were saying, he was quite honest, he was saying that the success of the OnePlus One made them arrogant. And that they, unfortunately, the phone that Charlotte owns wasn't good enough. So...
can we take this away from the phone that Charlotte owns, supposed to?
I'm only repeating was said.
What he said? He said that about my phone?
Yeah.
Specifically my phone?
Yeah, they said that one wasn't good enough.
Okay, fair enough.
So that they stepped it up for these new ones.
I think, this is the classic startup issue as well. I know they're not like it, but they upstart issue, let's say, in that they came into a market, everything was stripped down, they made one product, they had a really tight... production line, they had very good control of stock, as we said, you know, you had to get an invite to buy one and all that stuff, so that's great, and then you've got a huge success on your hands and you can make a good profit. How you then expand to become a mass market product is classically quite tricky.
No one's heard of them, literally. No one I've ever spoken to has heard of OnePlus. People are like, what's your phone? OnePlus 2, what's that? Like, no one knows what it is, so no one's actually impressed by it at all. So there you go.
On that.
That's a very sad note to end on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry.
Well, let's go around the room. One love, or one of these days I'm going to walk right over you. Henry Burrow.
One love. I like it still.
David Price.
Yeah, one love. I think I might just throw in all my iPhones and just get this. It sounds amazing.
That will be a controversial editorial.
Oh, my word.
Macworld starts recommending
OnePlus World.
Help me do that.
Charlotte G, with your outmoded and out-of-date OnePlus phone.
Yeah, I still would say one love.
One love. Wonderful. Thank you for listening to this edition of the UK Tech Weekly Podcast. Get in touch and let us know your thoughts and opinions on our thoughts and opinions. You can tweet us at UK Tech Podcast or email editor@idg.co.uk. We'll be back next week with more informed and uninformed opinion on the hottest topics in tech. Until then, find us on Acast, iTunes, SoundCloud, and everywhere else. Subscribe, review us, tell your friends. Until then, say goodbye, team.
Goodbye, team.
Bye.
UK Tech Weekly Podcast.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.